We hear a lot about stress today, and when people begin to get stressed out, they always make the same mistake. They begin to back out of the things that stress them out. They begin to, you know, simplify their lives. I'm not saying that any of these things are bad, but they tend to get stressed and their life's going kind of crazy and they don't know what to do. So if I'm stressed, I've got to lessen what I'm involved in. They almost always choose church to ditch first. You know, they'll stop going to church, stop volunteering at church, get the family ready Sunday morning. We need a morning to chill out rather than get to church. And all this language. And I begin to look at this and realize that people don't know how to deal with stress in their lives. And so I'm going to entitle this message today, Be Stressed or Be Bigger. Be Stressed or Be Bigger. You see, God has built you to continue to grow. And when you begin to spin your wheels and you begin to get stressed out and you begin to get a little bit emotional and you begin to get a little bit fearful, stuff pushes you, we keep backing off, shutting down, slowing down, we quit things, we get sick, we get into financial crises, we have relationship issues. But stress, and there's so many different definitions of it, but as you begin to find yourself spinning your wheels and going at high RPMs, it's not the time to just kind of figure out a way to stay where you are. You know, I learned to drive on a Strato Chief, 3-on-the-tree clutch. And so when I got my learners, you know, I had to learn really quick, and there wasn't a tachometer on it, so it didn't tell you when to shift. You could just listen to it. And when that old Strato Chief, I'd be in first year, and just, and when I was first new, you know, this thing is just in first gear, the pistons are almost going through the hood as this car's going. And then you got to shift gears, because if you don't and you keep that car going, you're going to start blowing stuff. And people live that way. They live with themselves ramped up, and their world, their relationships, their job is. I have news for you. You have limitless gears. And a cool thing happens when you push the clutch in and you learn to just touch off the gas for a second and you pull that baby into second. It goes, and way down it, it's already going faster than first gear at. So I'm in second gear now. And in second gear, I'm doing 2 times faster, 3 times faster. I'm covering way more distance, going way quicker. And then second gear is going. So what do? Oh, I'm stressed. The motor is so going. I mean, there's a little bit of smoke coming through the dash. What do we do? Oh, I'll just back off a little bit. No, you don't back off. You actually move quicker. By what? Clutch shift. And then you're in third gear. And when you're going in third, you're doing twice as fast as in second. Life. So many people stay in first gear. They're just stressed, they're maxed, the engine's going like crazy, and they're probably going to blow a piston, they're going to blow something, this engine's going to shut down, it's going to do something, and life gets like that. Listen, when we go through life, and you begin to increase, you begin to be blessed, you begin to stress, or this ability to feel maxed, this feeling of, I don't know if I can handle anymore, makes people back off. And when you back off, you just stay in first gear. And as you get into God's word, you're going to find that God has designed you to rise up and to go somewhere and to do something. You know, when I was a single guy, I learned to handle stress. Single people have a lot of stress. I can't remember what it was, but I remember us having a lot of stress. And so I was single and dealing with my stress. Now I'm a confident single. Then I got married. And I found out marriage has got new stress. And so I'm trying to figure that stuff out, still am. And we're working on our marriage and growing our marriage, and you're learning to make decisions together and talk things through and celebrate life and plan life together. And then a baby comes along. Every hour and a half. Now I got new stress in my life. Okay? But then a second one comes along, and a third one, and a fourth one, and a fifth one. We didn't know what was causing babies, and once we found out, we didn't want to quit, so 5 kids later, all right. But then, there's getting an increase at work, and I was, you know, I was a paramedic, and now I became a supervisor, and so I was stressed as a single, but then I got married, and then I had a child and 2 children, and then I got work where I just have to listen to the boss. Now I am the guy in charge, and now I'm supervising all these issues. I'm responsible for this. The stress level just keeps growing. So the question is, if I'm going to really complain, which of God's blessings do I want him to take away? He doesn't take them away, but if I say, God, take this away. Well, no. It's all just a life that's growing. It's just a life that's increasing. It's a life that's having more. And here's the thing. If you go and buy a boat so you can take your kids skiing, you got to license the boat, manage the boat. You got to look at work on the motor. You got to find a place to put it. And then if you decide one day, you know what, our family could use a cabin. So you buy a cabin at the closest lake. Now you got 5 kids and a wife, and you're the supervisor at your job, and you got a boat that you got to keep running, and it breaks down sometimes. You got to pay for that to go to the mechanic. Now you got a cabin. You got to cut the grass. You got to go there, make it, winterize it. You got to spring it. More stuff. Everything that you grow in success in life is going to add more things to you. So what are you going to do? You have to make a decision that you can get bigger. You can go faster, but the enemy has an amazing strategy that works on so many people. He begins to whisper lies. He begins to shoot thoughts into your head, and it's, boy, you're tired. Oh, he does it in the first person. The thought will come, oh, I'm so tired. No one knows how much stress I'm going through. There's so many things I've got to look after. I'm responsible for so much stuff. And I call it weariness. Weariness. Weariness is of the mind. Tiredness is of the body. When I was a single guy, I would go work all day in a steel mill, and then I would try to talk to Sally as late as I could when I was at her place. Probably tried to get up at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, drive for an hour back to where I was had to work at 6 in the morning, sometimes just park my car in the steel mill. I worked at a steel mill for about a year there, and just sleep, put the seat back in sleep, and go to work. When I was tired, I could just grab a couple hours of sleep and get refreshed. But later on in life, I began to discover weariness. In Galatians chapter 6, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you don't faint. So for you to go on in life, to have the blessings that God wants you to have relationally, financially, I mean, you know, in every area of your life, then you're going to have to recognize you can handle it. You'll be okay. You're going to make it. But what the enemy's doing is, you're so stressed, you're so stressed, you're so stressed. No one puts up with the kind of spouse you got to put up with. No one's kids are as bad as your kids are, and no one understands how. And he just knows how to make you begin to accept this bit that you're weary. But the Bible says, let us not be weary. Now, if God tells you to do something, it's because you've got the ability to do it. Weariness is a lie. Weariness is a lie that comes at the brain and tells you, you can't go any further. I can't keep doing this. Biggest lie on the planet. I see Christians bailing on marriages, bailing on careers, bailing on church, stopping giving, stop volunteering. So the enemy, who is literally, all he can really do is shoot thoughts at you and hope to turn your own power against you, he has become good at making people, it's weariness, but we just call it stress. It is all forms of fear. Grumpiness is based in fear. Stress is based in fear. Weariness is based in fear. There's some kind of a fearful thought that is owning you. Weariness might be something like, nothing's ever gonna change. You know how awful that thought is if you're going through hell? Or if you're in a relationship that needs to change, and every relationship needs to change regularly, all the time. But if he can get you with this thought, nothing ever changes. The weariness begins to set in. And what God is telling us in Galatians is, don't be weary. Don't allow weary thoughts in. Don't let things come in that begin to get you go, oh. You ever meet a sire? How you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. Or if you're a supervisor over a team and you happen to walk onto the floor and all of a sudden, And the guy hasn't been doing anything for like 3 hours, but he sees you coming and, you know, he's sighing. People, for some reason, always have to put on that they're so busy or they're so stressed, and it's as though we get an award for it. How are you doing? It's been a busy week, I'm telling you. I had to have a talk with our staff because in the early ages of the years of the church, this thing was growing in Winnipeg. Our first, it was just growing and flowing, and things were happening. And so we were hiring staff as we needed them, and people would talk to them. And they'd say, how are you doing? And from the way they were raised in their jobs, they just thought, people better know. I better know I'm working for my money here because I'm on staff. So they'd say, oh, we're so busy. I've probably got a moment to take a coffee. And, oh, I'm telling you, we're just go. And they kept doing that, thinking they were helping people understand that this staff, we go. And people started saying, I'm thinking I was a slave driver. So I'd have a staff meeting and say, okay, is there anybody here that wants to quit because you're too driven? You don't get a break. You don't get coffees. You don't go home in the evenings. Like, you don't get days off. Is there anyone that's having a struggle? And they're all kind of looking puzzled, looking at me. And I said, you understand that every time you walk around church people and they say, hey, how are you doing? And you go, oh, boy, I'm telling you, we're going full tilt. It's hard. It's busy. I said, they're not asking you because they don't think you're working. It's just a question. But when you show a stressful side, you're giving in to the lies of the enemy. Everywhere I go, it's kind of like we want to dump on each other and it feels good. How you doing? Ah, oh, it's one hell of a day, but I'm telling you, I'm making it through. And you, oh, I know what you mean. It's like if we can complain to each other, we're more men or women or whatever. People ask me, oh, man, your life must be crazy. I said, not a chance. My life is great. And then they're just not used to that. They're used to getting complained back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Who's got the biggest, worst life? Who's got the craziest life? Who's working the hardest? Who's working the busy? I go, nah. So, well, it's got to be crazy busy. Nah, I'm in control. Kind of nice. I choose when I go and choose when I come. And oh. And they don't know where to go with that conversation because we tend to tag, you know, you're it. And then you get to complain. Tag, you're it. Then I get to complain. Tag, you're it. Then you get to complain. And we have a good session of complaining for a good 3 or 4 minutes, high five each other, and we go off. Why in the world do we do that? Our mouth is so powerful that the Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. So why do you want your body? Why do you want the angels? Why do you want the forces of life to all be told, I'm stressed, I'm maxed, we're going hard, I don't think we can do anymore. Man, if anything more happens, I know we're going to handle this thing. Like, all of those words, your whole attitude is a weary attitude. It's a stressed attitude. And even if you're just making it up, you're going to end up getting there anyway. Sometimes as we're working in one of the organizations that I run, we'll do a time and motion study where we'll say, okay, we really want to know, you know, what you do day to day so we can hire you more help or begin to change things around. So they get a sheet of paper and on it will be each hour of the day. And as they're going through it, you want them to fill it out for 2 weeks so I have an idea of what you're doing so I can get you some help or we can figure out other ways to work with the organization. And it's funny sometimes, the sheets you get back and you kind of go, they're stressed. They're maxed, and I only find 2 things on a whole 8-hour day. And I can do that in 15 minutes and that one in a 5-minute phone call. So what is this? But people convince themselves, I work so hard, I'm so stressed out, I'm so maxed out, I'm on my last nerve, and if there's one more straw, it's going to break the camel's back. And all of these attitudes, and I'm promising you, you will never get bigger and better and go places in life with that attitude, stressed out, weary. You have to choose that God's going to guide me. I've got a mind that can be renewed. I've got a body that's healthy, and I'm going to take control of my life and my appointments and what's going on, and I'm going to enjoy life. And this is an attitude. That's where you start. If you don't start there, no one's going to want to work with you or for you or around you, and you're going to stress yourself out, and your body's going to start listening to you. Then you wonder why all of a sudden you got joint problems and heart problems and arrhythmias. And it's because of the words and the way you act. You act stressed. If I want to right now, just standing here, I can make my heart race. If I want to right now, I could raise my blood pressure to a really high level. If I want to right now, I can make myself pass out. You know, just try breathing really heavy. You got about 60 seconds, you're going to pass out. And so, and I can make my blood pressure by making myself stressed out and breathing heavy and hard. And like, we have got to make a decision. I'm going to walk in the peace of God, the blessing of God, the joy of God. I'm going to handle anything that comes my way, and I'm going to rise up and be blessed. And every blessing that I get, I'm going to manage, I'm going to handle, I'm going to administrate my life, and the people around me, I'm going to enjoy, I'm going to be right in the moment. These are decisions you have to make about your life, or you're just going to be another statistic. It's a weary, stressed out dude walking around, and you're going, what is wrong? I would meet with pastors sometimes, and I love pastors so much. My dad was a pastor. My mom's a pastor. I was raised in a pastor's home. You get me around pastors, I want to hug those men and women because they're so special. But I would listen to men with 100 people in their church and 75 people in their church, and they're just stressed. They're on their last nerve. And I'm going, dude, what are you doing? You know, one guy visited him in the mental, and we went in there and I said, hey, how you doing? And he goes, Leon, yeah, it's been pretty rough. And it was just a wee little church. Dude, why are you so stressed? Why is your mind freaking out on you? Leon, it's just this one woman in church just wouldn't stop. And I said, you are in this ward because of one woman who attends your church. And I maybe said it a little bit too forcefully. But I just kind of helped them out. I had to give them some advice and show them how that don't allow the enemy. I had to be a frosty Friday in hell. I had that one woman bankrupt my mental status or getting me into the mood disorder of anyone. Not a chance. The Bible's got some incredible things we need to be aware of. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Listen to this verse and listen to it as though God is saying it to you right now. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, and he's not weary? There's no searching his understanding, and he gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings as eagles. They're going to run and not be weary. They're going to walk and not faint. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, that wherever I need energy, wherever I've allowed myself to get weary, weariness is of the mind, tiredness is of the body. If you got both going on and you're spiritually at the same time not feeding yourself, you in trouble. But I found many times in life, it is literally a 3-second fix for me. I'm going somewhere and I'm going, okay, well. And often I realize I'm letting weariness thinking get into my head. I'm letting myself begin to, you know, and all of a sudden I go, no. No, I am not. I'm walking in there when the joy of the Lord is my strength, the peace of God passes understanding, and I am not getting under this thing. Now, I'm not talking to people who avoid making a decision. Okay? Like you're an abused, physically abused woman in a marriage, and you're telling me not to be weary. No, I'm telling you, walk. Make a decision. I'm not saying don't make any decisions in life. You should be problem solving all the time. You should be confronting problems, relationships, finances, making changes, make your life better. But in this process of doing that, the enemy wants you weary. Now, here's what's interesting. The enemy wants you weary with what you've got, and God's ready to shift the gear and get you going twice as fast. Leon, how does that work? I don't know, but it happened in my life. I ended up in the hospital the first time I started pastoring Springs Church. I think we were running about 1,500 people. I was the only pastor on staff. Hadn't hired anybody yet. And I was maxed, so maxed, and didn't know what to do. And I was freaking out and ended up in the hospital. And they gave me all these checkups. And they, we can't find a single thing wrong with you. And I went, thank you. Okay, that's good to know. Then it's just, eh. And I begin to get up and speak the word of God over my body and over my mind and declare that I walk in the joy of the Lord. Declare that the peace of God that passes any kind of mental understanding governs my life. And I would get into the word of God and I would begin to change the way I thought. I wanted to change the way I am because our culture admires stressed out, maxed out people for some reason. But I'm not living that way. I'm living happy and blessed. And you're going to have to make a decision about your life. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2 and 3, it says, enlarge the place of thy tent. Enlarge it? Enlarge your life. It says, and let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Spare not, lengthen the cords, strengthen the stakes. When you're tenting, if you've got a tent and you want to go bigger, you have to have longer cords and you got to have deeper stakes. And the bigger that tent gets, the longer those cords and the deeper those stakes. This is how they lived in that agricultural kind of tribal society. And to get bigger meant you had this. And so I love the way it says this. Strengthen your stakes, lengthen your cords, for you're going to break forth on the right hand and on the left. It's talking about blessing and increase and bigger. And you're going, oh, okay. I don't know, Leon. You're just in first gear going, what's the clutch for your life? What's the next gear? I don't know. Maybe it's just changing the way you think. Maybe it's renewing your mind. Like Romans 12 says, that you're never going to fulfill God's perfect will for your life until you change the way you think and renew your mind. Maybe it's you'd have never put on the armor of a prayer warrior. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then it talks about this armor that you've got to put on. The breastplate, the helmet, and every piece of the armor is a teaching from God's word. And your mind, which protects your heart, your mind is the walls of your heart. Like in the old days, the walls protected the city inhabitants. Your mind is what protects your heart. The beliefs of your mind is what allows or does not allow the presence of God to be released in your life. Your mind makes that decision, spirit or flesh. And you don't have two natures, but your body's been trained to get whatever it wants. So when it screams at something, which we call the flesh, then it's going to get what it wants, or the Spirit of God. And it's your mind, the renewing of your mind, that makes that difference. So even the armor that goes on is actually talking about the renewing of the mind. You got to understand righteousness, understand salvation, understand truth, understand prayer, understand faith. When you know these teachings, you're going to find that the enemy will come at you, and you're just confident. I'm going through it. I'm going to win. I was chatting with some guys the other day. We were talking about going to new levels. They said to me, new levels, new devils. You better have a new anointing to go to that new place in life. And I'm telling you, the devil's going to mess with you. All of us have tried to go to another level, and the enemy, he just comes along, and he nails you, and then you better be having an intercessory prayer group that's working on your behalf, and you better be ready. Are you ready? Is there an anointing upon you to go to that next level? And I've never in my life done any of that. What do you mean, Leon? I'm not worried about a new anointing, because the anointed one, Jesus, is in me. In the Old Testament, there were three anointings, the prophet, the priest, and the king. In the New Testament, if you're a born-again believer, we're all anointed with Jesus. The anointed one is inside of us. And I think we only use the word anointing like maybe once or twice in the entire New Testament, because it's no longer about specific unique anointings. You have a prophetic anointing and you have a kingly anointing. No, we all have God in us. Now, we might have different functions, but the presence of God is in me. I don't have to go back to the well for a second level of the anointing in my life. He's never left me. And so I've never treated every change in life as, oh boy, this is going to be a big transition. The devil's going to be messing with me. God might be holding me back. He might be slapping me upside the head with sickness, disease, or poverty to teach me something. We're going to go through it. It's never been like that for me. Let's go to the next level. Come on. What do you got to do? Change some systems and make the decision. Let's go. Now, for all you super spiritual people who are deeper than me, when I talk to many different denominations of pastors or just people who've been raised in this kind of a teaching, they would look at me and they would see the breadth of the ministry, how many languages this message is going to go into around the world, and the fact that we've got to running a television network station as well as churches, as well. And they look at me and go, you must be stressed, or you must have gone through great suffering to get where you are today. And I go, nope, nothing I can think of. Nope. And they just don't know what to do with that, because the prevailing doctrine is to do anything great means you got to go through great suffering. And they'll pull a few verses out of, everybody goes through suffering. Everybody. A mom suffers when her little boy goes to grade one. That little boy suffers when he falls off the teeter-totter, needs 4 stitches in his knee, and he's in pain. Life's got stuff. The Bible wasn't saying that begin to believe for a whole bunch of new suffering. It's just saying life's got stuff. Someone said, well, pastoring is hard. They stab you in the back. They talk about you. They blog about you. They get better and they leave you. And I said, that's not any different than any business person here. Raise your business up. People are going to lie about you, stab you in the back. They're going to take business from you. Someone's going to come work for you and then steal your clientele and go raise up the company down the street. Like, why do we think as we're as spiritual pastors or just Christians that the devil's on our case? Deal with that doctrine or you will forever be tethered to that doctrine. And here's what's scary. The Bible says, according to your faith, so be it done to you. That's a scary verse. It basically says, be careful what you believe, because what you believe will happen. Devil's going to get you, going to get you, going to get you. Devil's going to get you, going to get you, going to get you. You believe that? Then every time something happens, oh, it was a devil. You know, and guys, they get absurd. You know, if I was to talk like them on the way to church this morning, I could have went, you know, I got out of my truck and I drove out of the, and my neighbor wouldn't even wave at me. And I just sensed right there, there was a push against me. And I knew that today the enemy would be on my case. And then as I'm driving down, two people cut me off, almost got into an accident. I knew the enemy's on my case. And then I begin to have all this stuff, like, I could look at all those negative things or all those little things, or I could just look at all the great things. It's a beautiful day. The sun is out. Our family's going to church. I'm going to meet a bunch of incredible people at church. Like, what are you focused on? What are you believing for? Be careful. Because if you start to believe something that's wrong, even though it's wrong, it'll begin to affect your life. So that's why when you come to this church and you hear me messing with doctrine, someone said to me the other day, Leon, when you preach, I got to go home and listen to it 7 times. To get something out of it. I said, to get everything that's in there. I said, good. You know, you should be listening to it more than that. The Word of God, we've got to change what we believe, or nothing will change in the exterior till you change the interior. Don't look at your life right now and go, we got to back up. I guess more kids aren't for us. We can't handle the one we got. Just get in second gear already. You're going, learn some things, grow in some things, get some advice. Well, right now, I'm trying to handle 3 staff, Leon, and our company, we've got a new company, got 3 staff, it's driving me nuts trying to control those 3 staff. I'm trying to make payroll, I got to make money to make the payroll, and everybody goes through that. Just keep learning, just keep growing. By the way, God's taking you bigger. Last thought, and I'm in my introduction. God requires you to think bigger. I'm going to prove it to you. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. All right. Now then, what is faith? Faith is believing for what you don't have. Right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So in life, if you are down here, I'll use these steps. Well, I can't. If you're down here and you're believing God to go to a whole new level, financially, relationally, whatever it is, and you're believing, you're walking, and all of a sudden, you go up a step. Thank you, Jesus. This is awesome. And you begin to enjoy this new level of life, and things are going well. All you see is a pair of hands on there. That's good. But then you go, but you know what? The problem is that if you're going to be in faith at this level, faith is the substance of things. So while you're where you're at, you're not in faith if you're going to stay there. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you begin to believe God. You put faith, you put actions to your work, and you get to a new level. This is incredible. I've never been this high financially. Relationships have never been this good. This is great. And you stay there for a little while. You get used to it. And then you go, well, are you saying I got to go higher yet? Yes, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You haven't seen some things yet. There's hopes you're supposed to have. So, okay, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to go to another level. By very virtue of faith, you're never allowed to maintain and stay where you are. And on the good side of that, someone's going, oh, that's so stressful, Pastor. I mean, I just kind of got my life to where I'm managing it. No, you don't understand. God's going to bring you the power, the ability. You're going to learn skills. You're going to learn to shift from first gear to second gear, from 10,000 RPMs to 3,000 RPMs. And it's going to happen regularly in your life. Start believing that. Stop believing in how powerful the devil is. Stop believing God's slapping you upside the head with disease or finances or problems. God might be in it. One of the greatest thoughts in my life is that when a storm comes, God's not in the storm. He's here with me. I believe that so passionately. And it's amazing how in life, as things happen, what you believe begins to affect what happens in your world. So all I want you to get out of this message today is you've been created for more. You've been created to go bigger. You've been created to enjoy higher. You've been created to lead, to go. Don't get into a place where you're, wah, wah, yeah, I'm happy here. Well, the Bible says, Leon, that at whatever level of life, we're to be satisfied, we're to be content. The contentment Paul is talking about in context is not, okay, I've reached 7 people for Jesus, I'm content, I'm going to just stop there. No, he's going for the whole world. He's not content as far as production of his ministry. He's not content as far as rising. Oh, no. He's just saying he's not driven trying to prove himself to people and with this need. Nah, I'm serving God. I'm blessed. I'm happy. But I'm going on to do great things for God with my life. I'm challenging you. You've got gifts. You've got ability. When you come to church, don't allow stress to shut you down and go, well, I can't handle anymore. You don't know that. When you were 2 tying up your shoes, you were stressed. When you were 5 trying to get your coat on, you were stressed. When you were in grade 1 and you're trying to learn to write, you were stressed. When you were in grade 5 and you saw that cute little girl and you had this little crush and some other guy liked her too, you were stressed. When you're 12 and you had your first crush and it was stress. Come on, wherever you are right now, it's just typical. Let God guide you. Let his presence help you. Wherever you are in relationships, finances, careers, your relationship with God, there's more. And that more's not harder. Remember, and if you've never driven a clutch, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about, but if you're driving a 4-speed or a 3 on the tree, and that RPM is going, on an automatic, it changes automatically. You can hear the car going, but on a standard, you got to put the clutch in and pull it there. Let God give you, whatever that is, the next clutch in shift for your life and have you going twice as fast, twice as big with less RPMs, less stress. Leon, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, welcome to God's grace. Amen. Father, I pray that this message will just permeate each of us. That, Father, we believe that we're made in the likeness and the image of God. That we're going to rise up and do great things. That, Father, regardless of even how stressed or how unmanageable or how tough things are right now, that we know that we are going to keep growing. Our mind is going to continue to be renewed. Your presence is upon us, changing us. And, Father, the future is bright. We're going to continue to serve you. I pray you'd bring hope. You'd bring encouragement to every person in this room. That, Lord, they can take a deep breath and go, it's only going to get gooder. I pray this in your wonderful name. With every head bowed for just a moment. For those who are here and would say, you know, Leon, I'm not sure that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I'm not really sure that I am a Christian. I want to lead you in a powerful prayer. And when you pray this prayer, the Bible says you're going to be forgiven for everything you've ever done wrong, all of it. But it's not just a forgiveness of sins. You're going to have new life. Did you know that according to the Bible, before a person gives their life to Jesus, they're simply a dead man walking? Because the Bible calls life having the presence of God on the inside of you. That Zoe life of God is how we really live. And without his presence within us, it's just going through the motions of what we could actually do. So if you've never made Jesus your Lord, or you're here and maybe you did years ago, but you kind of drifted away, walked away, and you need to come back, then this prayer is for you. I'm going to lead everybody in this prayer right from your seats. And if you want to be included, would you just open your eyes and just give me a quick wave? Then when I see your hand, put it right back down, just saying, Pastor, include me. Thank you. Others, just say, Pastor, include me. Today I'm getting right with God. I'm giving my life to Jesus. At the other campuses, there's a pastor at the front or a leader at the front right now waiting for your hand. Just wave at them. And God sees your hand, and I'm about to pray right now. Let's all pray with these amazing folks making the most important decision of their life. It goes like this. Just say, Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus who died in my place. Please forgive me all that I've done wrong. Come into my heart as my Lord, my Savior. From today and on, I'm following you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family of God. That's how powerful, that's how beautiful that is.